All right, here we are again, Coaching Basics Part 2. And in this session, what I want to do is I want to talk about how to get the right approach for the right client. I mean, really, in this whole, this second course, we've been talking about how to add a little bit more directive to our coaching. And so much of coaching is powerful because of its non-directive approach. I mean, the more we direct often, the less motivated sometimes the client is. I mean, parents find that out very quickly. If the parent is always directing, then often the parent has to keep on directing or the kids won't do it. Yeah, clean up your toys, you know, be responsible for something, and you have to say it. How many, you know, often parents say things like, how many times do I have to say it? Well, when you're always on the directive side of the fence, you have to say it a lot because the motivation is coming from the coach. I am telling you what to do, and if I stop telling you what to do, you don't do it. But if I help you figure out what you want to do, then you, the client, you're the client. You're the one who motivates yourself. You're the one that wants to do it. I'm just helping you figure out what you want to do, and I'm figuring out how you can do what you want to do better. But the motivation is intrinsic in you. But we've looked at that, you know, that sometimes certain scenarios, some direction is, you know, positive or sometimes even necessary or maybe a lot of direction. It's very difficult to learn, for example, an instrument without someone directing you, helping you. So there's a lot of things like that. So in this session, I want to talk about, well, how do you know when to do what? How do you know how do you know what's the right approach and what things should I consider before deciding which approach might be best? So the first thing that you need to do as a coach is to take note of your personality type. You're asking, well, why do I need to do that? Because your personality type will influence what you want to do. Your decision of what approach to use might be more influenced by your personality than what's really needed in this situation. So at least if you're aware of your personality type, you can be aware of what influence your personality type has on your choice of what approach to use. I hope you follow what I'm saying. I think you do. All right. So you might be a take charge kind of person. If you're a take charge kind of person, then you're going to be by default more on the directive side of the fence. And you will always see the need for direction because you won't have the patience to sit and listen and help the client figure it out for themselves. Or number two, you might be a consensus builder. In other words, you listen, you hate to put your thoughts out there. Well, then you'll be very reluctant ever to use a more directive approach. Or maybe you're the behind-the-scenes kind of supporter person. Again, if that's your personality type, you'll probably be more on the non-directive camp. And even when the directive is appropriate, you'll be reluctant to use it. Or maybe you're a talkative kind of person. You know, you get along with everybody. You've never met a stranger because you make friends wherever you go. And often talker types want to talk and not listen. So you'll be more on the side of the directive, you know. You'll have a lot of experiences and you'll want to share all those experiences and show someone how to correct and do things in their life. Or maybe you're a great listener. I mean, that's what you do. You're reluctant to give your opinion about anything. But you love listening to people, and you're very good at it. You ask good questions that help people keep talking. You will be reluctant to be on the directive side. You'll be more on the non-directive side. Or maybe, number six, you're an opinionated person. You know a lot of things, and you make judgments about the knowledge that you've acquired. And you know what's right, you know what's wrong, you know what's good, you know what's not good, you know what works, you know what... at least that's how you feel. You know, others may disagree with you, but you feel like you know things, and it's really hard not to share what you know. It's hard to not share your opinion, and so you'll gravitate towards the more directive approach. Or maybe you're the answer man kind of person. I mean, you know, I'm inviting you as a coach to really analyze who you are, and sometimes it's hard. I can't imagine anyone out there going, yes, I think I'm the answer man type. No, because that sounds kind of negative. But maybe you are, so you have to really analyze this. People that know a lot, you know, they acquire knowledge, they have a lot of experience. When they read things, they retain it. When they hear things, they retain it. When they experience things, they put things together. And maybe you have a lot of answers. You know, it's not necessarily a negative thing. But you have to realize that if that's your personality type, then you're going to gravitate towards the directive, when sometimes really the non-directive is what's called for. Or maybe you're a process-orientated person. You like things, you know, to go, you know, step by step by step, and you're very patient about it. Then you'll probably lean towards the non-directive. Okay, so figuring out who you are as a person, your personality type, is going to influence, you know, whether you're going to go to the non-directive side or the more directive side and everywhere in between. And at least knowing who you are, you can sort of offset that. Knowing that you're more on the directive side, you can be aware of that and go, okay, hold it. I don't want to press every client that I have into the directive side. I have to evaluate what's really needed here. All right, next you take note of the client's personality type. There's your personality type, but what about the client? So let's say you're trying to coach a take charge kind of person. That take charge kind of person will, you know, they'll want you to be more non-directive because they're taking charge, right? And so if you're a take charge and they're a take charge, you might have a little bit of a battle going on. Or let's say you're dealing with a consensus builder type. They will be very reluctant to make a decision on anything because they want you to help them. So they'll probably want you to be a little bit more directive or the behind the scenes supporter. They'll be looking for you to supply some direction so that they can support it. Now, that might be appropriate or it might not be. Okay, so you might have to, you know, press them into taking charge more, but by being more non-directive. Or let's say you have a talker. The talker will want to take charge. And maybe what's needed is for you to take charge. So, you know, so what do you do? I think you put these things on the table. Hey, I can see that you're a take charge person. I can see that you're a talker and you're going to want to this. But I think what might be more beneficial for us here together is that you actually do more on the listening side. And I take a little more direction. Let's see if you can follow something. A listener. So you have a listener. A listener will want you to do all the talking. They come to coaching, and you'll sit there and go, okay, so what do you want to do? And they'll go, I don't know. You tell me. You're the coach. And then you'll have to explain, you know, the whole non-directive approach and why that might be a positive thing to do. And then they will have to take a more active role. And number six, let's say you have an opinionated person. That opinionated person is not going to take any direction from you because they know, but they're the ones who've come to you for coaching. So honesty is probably the best policy with these kinds of things. With your personality type, their personality type, you just put these things on the table. Look, I notice that you're this kind of person, I'm this kind of person, and we have to work with that. We have to be aware of that. An answer man, you might have the answer man person, and they're going to want to take charge. And they're going to resist anything that you have to say. If you know, maybe there's some areas that you need to be directive, but they're not ever listening. You know, they've come to you for parenting help, but the minute you try to help them understand some principle of parenting, they counter you with their opinion. Well, they came to you because whatever they're doing is not working out. So I think, again, it's being honest and putting these things on the table. Or a process-orientated person will sit back and wait for the process. So my point in this is you have to understand your personality type. You have to understand the client's personality type. And I think you put these things on the table so that both parties can be aware of this sort of outside influence as we're trying to make progress towards some task or goal. Take note of the client's motivation. You know, the topic here is, well, how do I know which approach to do? Non-directive, directive, semi-directive, somewhere in between? What do I do? Well, take note of the client's motivation. The higher the motivation, the more directive you can be. If the client is really motivated, I want to learn how to play the guitar, for example. Okay, then let me show you. Okay, when a client knows exactly what he wants, but they don't have the right knowledge, they don't have the experience, then you can just be directive. Well, this is how it goes. This is how you can learn this. The lower the motivation, the more non-directive you can be. Okay, they're not motivated. So if you start showing them how to play the guitar, they may not even want to play the guitar. In other words, you have to be more non-directive. What do you want to do? And sometimes the client doesn't know. Well, I think I maybe want to play the guitar. Okay, let's try. And then you find out they don't. It's because they don't know what they're not motivated yet. So now you have to help them explore areas in their life where they maybe have a problem or things that are messing up, things that are causing them pain. If you can help them find where the pain is, then see, they might become more motivated to want to do something about it. So I think this is really a key important thing. The higher the motivation, the more motivated the client is towards doing something or learning something or fixing something, the more you can be directive. The less motivated they are, then you have to be more non-directive. Take note of the client's focus. Okay, the more focused, the more directive you can. In other words, the client knows exactly what he wants. I want to be a better leader in my company. I want to be a better husband. My third child. I'm disconnected to my third child. I want a better relationship with my third child. Okay? When they know and they're focused on what they want, the more directive you can be. They're ready for information. They're ready for knowledge. The less focused, the more non-directive. I mean, you could start directing someone who's not focused, but you don't even know which, you know, what direction to motivate them towards. You don't know what the task is. So we got to figure out what the task is. We have to figure out what the problem is. We have to figure out what this client really wants coaching in. Until it's narrowed down, until it's focused in, you just be wasting your time trying to teach them and show them. Take note of the client's follow-through. Okay, so there's this thing that the client wants, and they're motivated, they're focused, you start teaching them, you do a little directive, do a little non-directive, but now, what does the client do with all this? Does he follow through? Does he do anything? You set up little assignments in a coaching session, and then, you see him a week later, and so how did it go? I didn't do it. Okay, the more the client follows through, the more directive you can be, right? I'll show you a chord on the guitar, and then you go home and you learn. He comes back and he knows it. Oh, I can show you another one. But if they don't follow, if they follow through, okay, so I can keep showing you things. The less the client follows through, the more non-directive you have to be, because we haven't figured out what the client really wants to do. Until you figure out what the client really wants to do, there's no point in teaching anything or showing. So this is key to figuring out which approach is going to be the most effective. Okay, so, and then finally, always explain what you're doing. Always, sometimes you're going to get it wrong. Sometimes you're going to be directive when you should be non-directive. Sometimes you're going to be non-directive when you should be directive. But it's important to let the client know what you're doing when you're doing it. Okay, we're going to do a little non-directive here because I don't know if we have the right focus. I don't know if we have the right motivation. I don't know if we figured out the right task. You said you want to be a better husband, but I don't know if we've narrowed this down good enough, so I'm going to be in the non-directive camp. Or, you seem to know exactly what you want, but you just don't know how to do it. Is that fair to say? And the client says, yeah, that's exactly it. I'm motivated. I really want to do this. I just don't know how to do it. Okay. So I'm going to be on the more directive side of this, okay? I'm going to show you three or four principles, and then you make a decision of which one you want to try this week, and then we'll see how it goes. Does that sound fair? And the guy goes, yeah. So explain always what you're doing so people don't get confused about this directive and non-directive approach. All right. Create an atmosphere of trial and error. Coaching by its very nature is trial and error. We don't always have it all figured out. You're not always, sometimes the client thinks they want this, but really that was a smokescreen. There's something underneath what they have verbalized that they really want. The real problem is something else. They think the problem is parenting, but the real problem is the relationship they have with their own parents. Okay, but we don't know that at first. We don't know it until we start working on it, and then when we discover that, no, hold it, this isn't working. With a pastor that I know, I was trying to teach him how to do application in his sermons, and I kept showing him how, and you have to think about people in your church and what they're going through, and then imagine and then speak to that situation. And he just had a hard time doing it. He just couldn't do it, and I couldn't understand. Well, finally, I figured out that the real problem is he couldn't really have great empathy with the people in the church because he didn't have awareness of his own hurts and his own pains with his own father. Okay, so the reason he couldn't really, see into the experience of other people and see how this passage can be a balm, can be a healing thing to those people, he couldn't really feel that because he didn't do it for himself. So now, through a process of trial and error, it's like, okay, the real issue is you and your own father and your own hurt that you've built a wall around. So you can't feel your own pain. And if you can't feel your own pain, then you're not going to be able to feel other people's pain. And you're not going to be able to speak to other people's pain. So, but you don't know that at first. It's a process of trying to figure out what the real thing is and the thing that works or the thing that doesn't work. So create an atmosphere of trial and error. Let's try this. I hear this is what you're saying. Can we come up with an assignment for this week? And they figure something out and they go do it. Is that the thing? Is that or is when they come back, are we going to learn something new? That, oh, now we're going down a slightly different process. That's what makes coaching this really alive thing. This process of figuring things out and making some progress. So the non-directive and the directive. You might try being a little directive. Does that work? Well, he didn't do anything. So you thought he was motivated, but he's not really motivated because you did the directive thing and he didn't do it. So then you have to, you know, regroup. All right, maybe we got to be a little more non-directive because I thought he was focused. I thought he was motivated. He said he was focused. He said he was motivated, but he really wasn't. So now we got to step back into the more non-directive. Or maybe we're doing non-directive and it's like we keep coming to the same thing. The guy knows exactly what he wants to do. He just doesn't know how to do it. So then you can, you know, we're doing non-directive, but I guess maybe we got to move into a little directive. And sometimes you'll get it wrong, okay? But eventually the truth will set you free. Eventually the evidence of what's going on, the change in a person's life, because that's the goal, right? They come to you because they either have a problem or an area in their life where they want to grow. That's why they've come to you. And are they growing? Are they solving the problem? That's what's the cool thing about coaching, is it's very outcome oriented. Is this working or is this not working? If it's not working, then let's change our approach. If it's working, let's keep going in that direction. That's what I love about coaching, and I think you will too. So you just have to get out there and do it. Don't be afraid of making too many mistakes. It's really a dance. You know, the client-coach relationship is a bit of a dance, and sometimes it really works, and sometimes it takes a while for the dance partners to figure this out. So get out there and try. All right, we'll see you again next time.